The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Now your host, Roger Waldron.
Today my guest on Off the Shelf is Kim McCabe. Kim is a principal at Deloitte Consulting. Kim has held several high-level positions, United States Army, ASI government. She is a leading thinker on digital government and the transformation. And recently had you had an article published in NextGov called Taking the Federal Digital Leap, Inevitable, Imperative, and Doable? Question mark. So we're going to talk about that today. But first of all, Kim, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Roger.
Well, I'm looking forward to this conversation. Obviously there's a lot of focus these days on digital government. You know, GSA even created a technology transformation service and 18F and digital service, all that's been going on. And you did this article, and I think it's very timely to talk about, you know, what's the approach, what's how we go forward. So I'm just going to open it up and give you an opportunity to talk about the themes of the article, and then we can dive down into the details.
Sounds great. Thanks so much. So we're at an inflection point in human history. We really are. And I open the article with that to say.
Yeah, that was very, drags people right in.
Yeah.
You know, grabs them.
So. I think it's really true. We have capabilities now we've never had before. Technologically, the expectations are wholly different than they used to be, and our ability to meet those expectations is now at a higher level than we've been in the past. So it's a really wonderful time for us to think about how can we deliver government services, sort of the potential of government in the digital era. And I'm excited by that, which is why I'm at Deloitte Digital. But it's been a conversation I've been in for many, many years, and we'll talk about this later possibly, which is through acquisition of the future, for example. It was really the same conversation, but focused on acquisition and how we could live into the digital era. So the main points of the article are really to say that as a result of the leap in technologies and the social revolution, which is that we're connecting in a more profound way across boundaries now, in really ways we haven't before, producing socially, we've got the net revolution, but really it's all of us, right? We're all living mobile, social. Everyone has these sort of Amazon expectations. And those expectations are embedded now in the way we think about our real lives. And as we talk about, we don't have that in government yet. So, and then frankly, the economics have just fundamentally changed. We really don't have boundaries anymore. And, you know, the transaction costs are approaching zero for most things in terms of the interactions. So that has really driven an opportunity for us to think about digital as a mindset, digital era as an aspiration versus digital as a technology. So in looking at the what's happening in government, what we found in looking at both commercial and in the federal sector is that we are proving out to be relatively immature in our capabilities, understandably, because we're behind in terms of our thinking about this. Commercial certainly went through it. We'll go through it as well. And the characteristics of that are that we tend to buy much more transactionally.
Right.
So, hey, we want to do a cloud migration, or we want to have an app, or we want to, you know, put in place cognitive computing, right? And so it's not that the notion of making the enterprise digital, meaning operating within those digital expectations, it's not that we're trying to frame for that. It's really that, wow, there's a neat technology, let's try to embed that. And that's really where commercial started too.
Right.
And what started to happen was the realization that there were different business models. So as we start to move forward, what we're finding is there's really three areas where we can transform in the main.
Well, let me ask you a question. Yeah. I think it's a great observation about transactional, because, you know, my impression, you know, I think you've sort of confirmed it, is that the government is still at a point where, that would be nice to do it this way for one piece of the puzzle, rather than looking at strategically across the enterprise of how these things could theoretically all work together, right? I mean, taking a strategic approach. And that's one of the things that you point out in the article, the strategic versus transactional. So, you have thoughts about, you know, that difference? I you know, I interrupt you going down a path, but it just struck me that that transactional really is like, oh, let's develop an app, but it's no thought about how does that app fit into everything else, you know, that particular agency is doing, and what does it mean for the citizens if it's something that's being created to provide access, you know, to some database or, you know, whatever for on behalf of the government.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's a great question. So, you know, the transactional is within our stovepipes. We're, you know, we're organized vertically, right?
Yep.
And since we're organized vertically, and we're, but outcomes are horizontal, but we're organized vertically and authorities are vertical. And so the challenge for folks in the government is, how is it that I can try to again, to live into, inspire to sort of digital era type of engagements with, whether it's with citizens, soldiers, you know, customers, employees, but within that vertical and within a box within that vertical. And one of the biggest challenges for us, this was true with ERPs too, by the way, was, you know, we're kind of bending metal to try to have an ERP that's a horizontal technology to try to work across what is a relatively stovepiped, purposefully stovepiped environment.
Yep.
And I don't mean that in a negative way. We're just organized vertically. So strategically is really more about starting with the outcomes, right? This is the value age. We're talking about delivering value. That's what all of us want, and we want it fast. And it's also more organized around people than process. So the government needs to make a mind shift from focusing on process and focusing and process both in terms of the outputs but also the process itself, to more value and humans. So the human-centered design, for example, is a notion that's taking over whether it's service design or whether it's organizational design or whether it's app design or if it's visualizations for...
And what does that mean, human? I mean, is it,
so
it understanding how people you know, operate in life that to make the technology, you know... compatible with that?
It might not be technology, actually, but you're exactly right. Yes, absolutely. And technologies, right? So it's really about what are the frustrations of or needs of the user? And that user, it could be of a capability or it could be of a technology. So if you think about your toothbrush, do you remember before they had the little lines on there that would tell you that it was worn down? The reason that they designed that in there is because they walked around and they watched users. And as they were using the toothbrush, that they noticed was that most people's toothbrushes were worn out, and there was no way to know if they were worn out. So they designed it to try to help the user. It's not something any of us would have asked for, but it was a problem that we were having with a toothbrush we didn't even know we had.
Right.
And so it's a little bit of, oh, you know, it's a value add. It makes it easier for the person who's has the toothbrush now to know that they're getting a nice clean teeth.
Right.
So it's the same thing.
Okay.
In this case, it would be instead of, you know, having requirements and pushing the technology out, it's about spending the time with the individuals who are going to be using that technology or that process and understanding what's their experience, mapping out that experience in terms of their journey, and helping really bringing the process to them instead of making them come to the process. How do we make this work for them so that it's higher value and more efficient, and it really becomes more efficient?
Right, I assume in that exercise be... people just, you know, those who are providing the service, I imagine they discover all kinds of things that they didn't realize that makes it easier for their ultimate customer, whether it's a citizen or a government contractor or whoever, to interact, right?
So, absolutely. And I think because we're so used to process and process redesign and process mapping and following the process and regulations and so forth, that shift from process to people is actually a huge mental model shift. Because all of a sudden, it's not that we don't want to make sure that we're compliant. We certainly do, and that we're following regulations and so forth. But what you find is there's so many different ways that you could meet that need. So it goes into, and this is back to sort of the three main areas, which is reimagining government is one, or reimagining mission, which is really help us to understand what are the new business models? How else could we deliver on this mission? So it's not a change in the legislative mandate, but it is really thinking about it from the human's perspective and adding the value. The second is the experiences. Help me to improve the experiences of our workforce, of our beneficiaries. And that's a whole area that folks can transform. And the last one is what I call digital at the core. That's what Deloitte calls it, digital at the core. And it's really about aligning the front and back office in a digital way, right? So if you want it to be faster and more efficient, but you want to align it back to how you've reimagined and the experiences that you want to have. So as your operating model needs to shift when your business model shifts.
Right.
And government's just at the front of that.
And Kim, we're already up on the first break. So when we come back, we'll continue talking about strategic digital approach. We'll talk holistic. I love that. I love that word. I use that all the time, actually. My guest today is Kim McCabe. She is a principal at Deloitte Consulting, Deloitte Digital. How about that?
Both.
Deloitte Digital. Okay. and we're talking about Kim's recent article in NextGov, Taking the Federal Digital Leap, Inevitable, Imperative, and Doable. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Kim McCabe. Kim is a principal at Deloitte Consulting and Deloitte Digital. I like that. D squared, right? And we're talking about Kim's recent article in NextGov entitled Taking the Federal Digital Leap, Inevitable, Imperative, and Doable. And Kim, when we took the break, we were talking about, you know, transactional digital approach versus strategic, and we got into some of that. And, you know, one of the things that, I wanted to, you know, continue to talk about, pull the thread a little bit more on is the obstacles. You brought up the biggest obstacle to strategic approach, or how the government typically looks at things from a transactional sort of stovepiped approach, and we got to get away from that. But what are some other, you know, the obstacles that you see in the government world that make it more difficult to do this strategic digital approach?
I think fear. I think fear is a really big one. We have a situation right now where we have a lot of organizations that are lawyer-led instead of leader-led.
I love it.
And you know,
I love that.
and it's not to point the finger. It's just to say that what has happened, in my estimation, is that we've evolved to a point where we are valuing the audit, we are valuing the oversight and investigation over mission delivery. And so when you allow for that to happen, then folks retreat. And as they retreat from the top, they set the tone at the top, and then
absolutely.
And it's a real fear, right? It's a real fear. I have a number of friends who have talked to me about the fact that, you know, they simply won't talk to contractors anymore who are in procurement, because it's just too many bad things can happen, and they
right.
Would
and
rather...
that's in the, you know, in the yeah. post Mythbusters memo, right?
Yeah, that absolutely.
You couldn't be more right about fear or the risk avoidance and in the culture of. And I love the term lawyer led. I mean, that's where a lot of this focus is. It's like it's right. compliance with process as opposed right. to outcomes.
And so to your point, you know, the result of that is that you can't take risks. But if you think about digital era mindset, it's all about experimentation. It's not about right. taking risks. It's about experimentation. So to me, 18F is an experiment. So did everything go right with 18F? No. Did they expect it to? No. Did they change the dialogue? Absolutely. Have they created the case for change? Have they? Absolutely. But are there things they're going to want to change next? I hope so, because they're going to learn from that, and then they'll do the next thing, whatever that is, whatever the iteration is. Now we're at TTS or whatever they do with USDS. But I think if we think of it more as an experiment instead of as a program, that what we start to do is allow ourselves to learn. We allow ourselves to try things. And the notion of sort of risk and fail worries me a little bit, because that's not really how I think of it, at least. It's really we're going to experiment, we're going to try things, and whatever works, we're going to build on that, right?
Right.
And
right.
we're going to learn from that together and allow folks at different levels to be empowered to try those things. But right now, the fear is truly preventing us from even delivering mission, much less experimenting on mission.
Right. Well, to innovate, you have to take some risks.
Right.
And there are going to be successes. And even those situations that don't result in optimal results, you learn from that at where to go next. I mean, it's an evolutionary process. And to your point, I have my own views, but how do you cure that? What do you do about that? It's almost a cultural, you know, fundamental of government at this point, or government procurement at least.
I think that we need to take a very serious look at the regulations and statutes around what audit and the IGs are doing and how it's impacting our ability to deliver on what's most important, which is mission, and what's most important within that, which is our people. And I think if we can do that, we can find a balance between the oversight that is desperately required and the good work that our IGs and auditors do, extremely important work. But I feel that we need to really find that balance. And right now, I don't think we have that. So if we can take a look at that seriously, that would be a great move in my mind toward helping us to start to change the culture, because the culture is just about, it's the net of behaviors. And the behaviors aren't necessarily going to change outside of making some changes to the environment itself.
Yeah, and to echo that, I mean, it'd be interesting. I think we're spending dollars to save pennies, you know, and it's not just, you know, and I'm not just talking about the IG budgets. It's the impact on operations that the current oversight approach, and nobody's going to say you shouldn't have oversight, right? I mean, taxpayer money, we understand, it's a mission, you know, and you have public trust. But, you know, to your point about balance, you know, the impacts on that in terms of the growth of process and addressing that. And I would almost put, you know, you mentioned lawyer-led. I almost think that the approach that lawyers are part of the oversight approach these days in many instances. And I think I just want to get your thoughts on leadership. I think a big piece of this is going to be leadership at the top to try to, I know Dan Gordon, when he's at OFPP, tried to, you know, lead by both example and by, you know, guidance about MythBusters. But I think leadership ultimately at the senior level is going to be key to kind of turning this around. I know what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think that Roger Baker, who is at the VA and a dear friend and a brilliant guy, once said that that leaders are supposed to be risk absorbers.
Right.
And I think having, you know, and I want to give him credit for that, because it struck me and a number of other folks in the room as a real truism. And it's hard to do that right now. So from a leadership perspective, I think we've seen some great examples, by the way, in government. I don't want to call anyone out in particular, because we're seeing so many of these opportunities that are being realized, whether it's technologies or whether it's, you know, changes in the environment or whatever it may be. But we're really seeing a lot of great work. We're seeing a lot of work around customer experience, for example, which is a wonderful way to lean in to shift that mindset, right? How do we really serve our, for example, veterans or whomever it may be? But I do think that we need to allow the leaders to lead. We've got to empower them. At eGov, I was talking with Tim Young, one of my compatriots, earlier today, and he was sharing this story about, you know, at eGov, one of the things that they tried to do early on in this transformation, and he was one of the sort of founding fathers of this, along with Karen Evans and others, was that they tried to empower folks who were lower in the organization so that we didn't have chain of command getting in the way, not just of innovation, but of execution. Because what you start having is then you have leadership at multiple levels. It's not leadership by role or by position. It's leadership by action. And that really seemed to take hold, as well as championship, which always is, and then incentives.
Right. And that's leadership at the closest point of the requirements holder, as opposed to, you know, several layers up.
Right. Absolutely. Right.
So are there other, you know, on the government side, I know we focused, that's a great topic. We could spend the entire show talking about that. But are there other obstacles in the government space? And do you have, you know, examples from the private sector of obstacles that they face and how they've overcome them?
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of really interesting ones. I mean, let me start with the private sector. One of the things that they've found as they've matured is that they have different velocities within their organization. And what I mean by that is, if you have one organization that is really focused on this kind of iteration and experimentation and so forth, and for example, if your back office isn't and your front office is, or your mission-focused organization is, the velocities bump up against each other. If you think about it in terms of physics, it's friction. Exactly. Yeah. It creates friction, right? And it slows down momentum because it's friction. You want to create a vacuum.
Right.
You want to allow that to move as quickly and easily as it can. And so one of the things they've tried to do is to match up the velocities of the organization. So how do we make sure that all the support enablers around that organization are in place, that the ecosystem is going to allow for that momentum to take hold? And that's a real challenge. And there's a lot of change management in it, but there's also really taking a look at the way your organization is in fact structured,
mm-hmm.
As how your leaders are engaging with each other and making decisions and governance and so forth.
Right. So, and I could see that like a support organization that isn't on the same velocity that that the folks who are on the operational level, and how that could impact. One could say that's where we are with the lawyers, right?
And that's true. And, you know, it may be the case that with procurement, we have the same situation, which is that we're seeing the IT community is really pushing forward, trying to move very, very, very quickly. And the procurement community is trying to make sure that there's integrity in the process. They're trying to make sure that we're really doing this the right way. And so the velocity within procurement will naturally be slower than the velocity in technology. But those two are part of acquisition, big A. So how do you match those two things up? And there's a lot of great movement around like agile acquisition, for example, and modular contracting and so forth.
Right. Well, you know what? We're already up on the break. We didn't even get to talk about a holistic digital strategy, how you develop that. So I guess when we come back from the break, we can talk about that. My guest today is Kim McCabe. Kim is a principal at Deloitte Consulting, Deloitte Digital. And you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Kim McCabe. Kim is a principal at Deloitte Consulting, Deloitte Digital, and focusing on digital strategies for the federal government. Kim's recent article in NextGov, Taking the Federal Digital Leap, Inevitable, Imperative, and Doable. Kim, let's talk. I think we're going to talk this segment. We didn't get to the last segment because we got on oversight. And all, you know, when people bring up oversight, I just can't control myself. I don't know. Developing a holistic digital strategy. You know, can you talk a little bit about what that means when you're thinking about from a government perspective and what goes into that?
Yeah, for sure. So let me hearken back to the conversation about industry and. They're not thinking of digital as a separate thing. They're thinking of digital at the center of their strategies. And the way that they're looking at it is they're trying to identify what their digital aspirations are. So put in non-fluffy language, what is it we want to be able to be, do, deliver in the future? What are the things that are most important to us in terms of differentiating, in terms of customer experience, in terms of value? And in the private sector, that would be P&L. But for us, that would be mission delivery and purpose.
Right.
So that becomes really the core of the conversation. And so one of the things that they're doing is they're using a maturity model to try to help themselves to understand where they currently are in terms of their level of maturity across a number of dimensions and what those aspirations are, what they want to be, and really road mapping out. So the maturity model is, as with many maturity models, is a wonderful way to create a conversation and to create a guide and to really start focusing on what is going to have the highest impact, the greatest impact, and in what sequence. And so that's really what that is. And I talked about digital DNA, which is created by a gentleman named Garth Andrus here at Deloitte. And they have put scores of companies and organizations, federal organizations and so forth, through it. Have a lot of data, and it's a great automated way to help customers to really start to understand how they can create a strategic approach versus a transactional approach. So what are the things that we need to do over time? How do we connect those dots and pick off bits and pieces in an order that will help get us there, but along a path? And every agency will be slightly different because of the mission that they deliver or because of the brand they want to have. And I don't mean marketing advertising brand. I mean how they want to be perceived within their customer base, within their citizen base. So if they want to be perceived as helpful, if they want to be perceived as knowledgeable, if they want to be perceived as effective, efficient, what does that mean? How do they get there? And that brand is made up of 1,000 small choices that they make, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so, you know, whether it's what channels they provide in, you know, do they use websites or do they use phone calls or do they go to people's houses? Is there a brick and mortar?
Do they have an app?
Do they have an app? Or, you know, are there apps multilingual? All of that, it changes the experience for the people who are interacting with that agency. And again, it's not all technology. Another example that I think a lot about personally, I think we all do, is the workforce of the future. So how is it that we plan for that? How is it that we try to change the way that we attract and recruit and retain and train and host new folks who have the expectations that we do in terms of living in the digital era? And how do we draw those folks into the government and have them either come and make their mark and go, or have them stay with us to drive forward? And we want the best and brightest. There's no more important work anywhere that is being done than in the government. And we want them here with us. So one area to think about would be, what does that look like and how do we do that in a digital way?
Yeah. And you know, people today, or like young people today, right? That's everybody, you know, but me. But it's like they're digital, right? It is that you. So you do have to think about, you know, a workplace that, you know, accommodates, you know, what they've grown up with, right? And we're not there yet, obviously, with the federal government. But when you describe that in the, you know, digital DNA, and it's almost like a gap analysis, it sounds like to me, where you know, your aspirational goal versus where you are. But it sounds like it could get it's a challenging exercise from this perspective to me. I just get your thoughts on this. It seems to me, and we've talked about the stovepipes, right? And if your aspirational goal is to get, you know, sort of a strategic approach, you've got to figure out where each one of those it goes back to that velocity thing, right? Each where those stovepipes are in the organization, and how far they've progressed to get to their goal. But then, and it's not just assessing that; it's just assessing also how they all work together, right? I mean,
yeah,
is that
that's right? I mean, because this is really about collaboration now, and right. That's part of kind of the conversation about social, for example, or the technologies themselves. And honestly, it's not just about technologies for the new workforce, for example, or even in delivery. It's, you know, for them, it's that they want to be empowered. They want to be able to do really interesting, high value things. They want to be able to be judged by their capabilities and not by their age or not by their tenure. And folks who, you know, as you would note, when you look out at some of the most successful and innovative companies, it's not age based. It's really capability based and it's innovation based and not bleeding edge even, right? But the folks who really want to lead from the outside, because the value is on the outside, at the outer edges of the organization. It's not at the top, right? Value's at the edges. So I think that the whole conversation, to your point, there is, it's a little bit of a gap analysis, but it's also really just trying to think about the full scope of what the art of the possible, the full breadth of what we could do in a digital era, which, by the way, is something most folks haven't started really thinking about in a connected way yet. So it allows you to do that. And then the other point that you made that I think is really astute is that we can't continue to lead from within our box in the stovepipe. If we are focused on value, we would call it outcomes, but focused on actually delivering value to whoever it is we're delivering to, that is absolutely not done by one organization or one function. So part of this shift is really about bringing together diverse perspectives from across organizations and, frankly, from analogous organizations outside of our own. So in here, I gave the example of, you could imagine an emergency room and how it's analogous to a pit crew in NASCAR, right? They have very similar dynamics. But you wouldn't normally put them together, but they need to have rapid decision making. They need to be able to have triage. They need to work together effectively. They're very under a lot of time pressure. So you can start to look at those analogies and learn from organizations that are outside of not just your government function, but outside of your industry.
Right. Well, is that one of the, you know, in your article, there's some factors you talk about, inclusion, diversity, collaboration, you know, focus on value, the things you suggest that government needs to think about is... that's a great analogy for that as well. But one of them that I really wanted to ask you about in the article that just like, it will stay with me. It's that don't buy the fish before the aquarium. Okay. Well, what does that mean?
There's a lot of conversation about bringing in new talent. And I love that idea. Are you kidding? Absolutely. Let's bring in talent wherever we can find it from. But it's a little bit like you go to a fair and you win a fish in a bag and you bring it home and then you realize that you've no place to host it. And so the next thing you do is you start running around trying to figure out how to make sure this thing survives the night. Right. We're doing that a bit. We're bringing in folks, but you know, there's no ecosystem for them. If you're really going to take care of fish, and I'm no fish expert, but I'll use it as an example.
Okay. I got an aquarium at home.
Okay, so you know more than I, but you would buy the aquarium, make sure it was a size that was appropriate.
Sure.
You'd have the right equipment inside of it, the pH balance, you have the right warmth
of
the water.
You know a lot more than you get to.
You'd want it not to be by a window so that you didn't have algae grow.
Wow.
You'd want to make sure you had fish that were going to be accommodating for each other. You'd want to make sure you didn't have salt water when you had freshwater fish. You'd want to make sure you had filtration. So you think about all of those things and you monitor and manage all those things for the health of the fish, not for the aquarium. And I think right. But if we're going to bring in this new talent, new capabilities and so forth, that we've got to spend an equal amount of time first thinking about that ecosystem. And by the way, an ecosystem that is generous, not one that is covetous. So you create it, but you can always make it a bigger aquarium and put more fish in it, right?
Right.
And we want that because we want it to spread. And so it's not something that should be exclusive, but inclusive and diverse in thinking and so forth. And I think the more we get that, the more that we're going to be able to really make that pivot.
Right. And Kim, we're already up on the last break, and we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about some of these factors for success. And I'm going to go change the water in my aquarium tonight. Okay. I'm feeling guilty now. So my guest today is Kim McCabe. She's a principal at Deloitte Consulting, Deloitte Digital. And we're talking about digital transformation, what it means for the federal government, and how the federal government can execute it. And we'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back. And we'll also maybe talk about some of the interesting things going on, like the Section 809 panel. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Kim McCabe. Kim is a principal at Deloitte Consulting, Deloitte Digital. And we've been talking about Kim's article in NextGov, Taking the Federal Digital Leap, Inevitable, Imperative, and Doable. And Kim, when we took the break, we were talking about some of the factors that are identified in your article about effectiveness and fostering effectiveness. And there's 10 of them or so, and there's two sort of towards the end that I think I'd like to, get you to talk about a little bit, and that's think exponentially and create agile execution. Talk a little about what that means and, what it means for an organization, and they are definitely related, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So exponential is something I'm really excited about, because we don't have to go down the path one step at a time, incrementally improving and living through the same errors that have, and the same pain that other folks have lived through simply because they did what we were doing earlier. There's an opportunity now to have step function improvements that are frankly less costly. They're much more cost effective. And so thinking about trying to have a 10x impact instead of what's the next thing is part of the notion around that digital maturity model. Sort of, where do we want to get to, and what's the best and fastest way? It, by the way, does not mean that you're taking on more risk. In fact, if you go incrementally, you are very often taking on projects that are still in the old world. This comes to Agile, these
sure.
big bang, massive programs, and so forth, and approaches that are just, they take a long time to get there. And by the time we get there, everyone talks about this. This isn't new. The
right.
requirements have changed. The world has changed. So to being able to take a look at it exponentially and really focusing on value and significant value, exponential value, and then delivering it in an agile way so that, which is, by the way, a mindset, right? That mindset of being able to do things quickly, experimenting, testing, being one with the user, being one mm-hmm. with the customer, if you're a consultant, those things turn into value and quickly.
Right. Okay. And then the agile execution piece of this is, you mentioned 18F a little bit earlier
mm-hmm.
and that seems, agile BPAs and agile development and all that is that just sort of the operational side of, thinking exponentially, or, talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. There's two different types of agile, I think, that I'll bring up here. One is about agile software development, and I think
right.
they've done a marvelous job of talking about how to develop software in an agile manner. And there's the playbook, and there's a lot of materials out there that, again, I think they've done a marvelous job of pushing the conversation. I would say that there's another level of that, and that's really about agile thinking, about agile mindset. And that's not about the development of the software, at a tactical kind of transactional level. It's about the whole notion of experimentation and inclusion. It's about thinking about doing things fast, about the velocity that we talked about before.
Sure.
And so part of what we hope to have happen in federal is to really move to that agile mindset as much as we move to agile software development. If you have the agile mindset, then what you find is that you're able to get value faster and focus it on really the folks who need it most, and it's targeted to those people.
Right. So, you know, from where in the government are folks embracing this sort of holistic approach? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. I mean, I fear pointing anyone out in particular because I don't know everything that's going on, and I know there are amazing things going on in lots of places, but we are seeing, whether it's technologically or in terms of business model, we're seeing all kinds of interesting things happen. And I think that at the moment, there aren't a lot of places where we're doing a full sort of strategic digital discussion.
Sure.
Because we're just not there yet. But I do see steps that direction, right? So when we're talking about customer experience, for example, that's a really wonderful way to back into a conversation that is about our organization, what we are, how we deliver our operating model, because you're starting with the customer instead of starting with the process. And by having that conversation, you're then able to back into the conversation about, well, so what's that journey? Well, how should we be organized? Well, what does that mean in terms of our technologies? What does it mean in terms of our workforce? How do we, right? So you can have a very strategic conversation by starting in that place. You can do the same thing with technology. If you start looking at technologies, you can back your way into a very strategic conversation about the organization. So you don't have to start with a big, massive transformation plan that's 73,000 pages long. And, you know, it's really more about that conversation and then iterating as we learn, and trying to get to value fast and to turn off things that are not adding value for the intended recipient versus just checking the boxes on the process.
Right. So when we talk about agile and that sort of thing, so there's an interesting things going on in government right now, right? And I bring up that in the context of a review of regulations. The Section 809 panel was authorized by Section 809 of last year's NDAA to put together a panel of acquisition experts to review DoD acquisition. What's your sense of where the panel is and how it's going to proceed? And I will, by sake of full disclosure, I have had the opportunity to talk to the panel myself and provided some insights and from our perspective.
So. Absolutely. So it's an important panel. I think it's an opportunity we won't get again soon. And I hope that the Department of Defense will continue to take it very seriously and really look at how this could set the tone for some of the other things we've been talking about today. The changes that they make could resonate across the department and really start to change that interaction in terms of the velocity between technology and procurement, for example, so that we're really, that whole ecosystem is moving at the same rate and procurement is able to support the type of advances in workforce and technology and other areas that we've talked about. Dee Lee is a good friend and she's marvelous. Some of my favorite people are on that panel. And I too, although I haven't spoken to the panel officially, I have spoken with them behind the scenes. And I believe that they have they're wrapping their mind around trying to try to make the most impactful changes. My comments to them have been really around acquisition of the future, which was an endeavor that many of us took on together in a volunteer way several years ago and continues at ACT IAC today.
So explain that a little bit, the acquisition of the future.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's sort of, if you think of it as a maturity model, it really was about, number one, creating a community, because the acquisition, big A acquisition community is relatively fragmented. So we wanted to bring PEOs and, program folks and IT, the CIO shops and procurement acquisition together, along with some of the Chicos, and really have a conversation about how is it that acquisition could live into, could provide the potential of acquisition in this new age. Folks got very excited about that. We had a lot of folks volunteering all up and down the chain, mm-hmm. again, across the functions. And we created a maturity model, which resides right now at ACT-IAC. You can see it at acquisitionofthefuture.org. ACT-IAC is hosting it. They don't own it. It's open IP, so anyone can participate, and we welcome that. And all of these leaders and sort of rising stars were focused on what would we have to do to move procurement and program to a place where we could really have that, live into that potential. So the conversation that I've had with them is that I hope that recognizing that the dynamics have changed so dramatically, that they will continue to consider not just a line in, line out on the current regulations,
right?
But that they will, again, consider really rethinking the way that we are doing procurement and Big A acquisition, considering how we could do it now and what's expected now in terms of whether it's speed or whether it's value, whether it's the human experience with procurement, whether it's the type of focus that they have. There's a lot of different opportunities that we have to do that. And I think that the regulations themselves can support it, but within that broader context. I know these folks are already thinking about that. I know they're moving that direction. We've got some of our best and brightest on that team. And I have a lot of faith and very encouraged by the direction that they're going.
Yeah. And, you know, I think, Kim, they could take your article, you know, these effectiveness factors you talk about, like shift the culture. We've talked about that today. Thinking exponentially, you know, they're doing that, you know, agile, you know, just in, that means flexibility in the procurement mm-hmm. rules to me. If you could take this article and turn it into a procurement article. I'm giving you an idea.
Yeah.
You know, like holistic procurement, holistic procurement approach. That sort of thing. So, I great show. Thank you so much. I want to thank my guest, Kim McCabe. She's a principal at Deloitte Consulting, Deloitte Digital, and you've been listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.